You're listening to a Sunday service podcast from First Universalist Church of Minneapolis, a faith community that welcomes, affirms, and protects the light in each human heart, listens deeply to where love is calling us next, and with humility, courage, and compassion, works to create a more just world. To learn more, visit us at firstuniversalistchurch.org.
Good morning, everybody. Please sing with us, Wo Ya Ya.
We are going, heaven knows where we are going, but we know within. When we will get there, heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will.
It will be hard, we know.
Good morning. My name is Allison Connolly Vetter. I use she and her pronouns, and I'm the Interim Director of Children, Youth, and Families here at First Universalist Church. But more important than any of that is that today is Youth Sunday, and I am so delighted to welcome you to this service. This service has been so lovingly crafted by many of our senior high youth, along with their youth leaders, who are Maria and Jane and Caitlin, whose birthday it is today. And we're also joined in worship by Paolo and by Reverend Jen. We are so delighted. Yeah, we are so delighted to have you here. I'm glad you're here. It's going to be a powerful, moving experience. I'm going to cry. You're going to cry. And I turn it over to the youth to continue our Youth Sunday worship service. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to Youth Sunday. My name is Willa Maynor, and I'm a part of the Senior High Youth Group. Up here with me today is Rosanna, Bobby, Max, and Isla. Our wonderful Neela and Liliana could not be here with us today, but they both had a huge part in the planning and writing of this service. Performing music for us today is Ben, Joe, and Espen. When new babies are welcomed into our community, our congregation agrees to care for and protect them, to help them grow, and to be there for them throughout their life and spiritual journey. Each baby is given a rose, with the thorns removed. This rose represents the protection of the church community. It's a representation of how when they fall on the playground outside, someone will be there to help them up, get them a Band-Aid, and find their parents. It represents the man with the gray ponytail and the fanny pack full of balloons in the social hall who will give you one if you ask really politely. It's representing the older youth who run their RE classes and make sure they know how to light a match. And it's representing their friends who they will one day be up on this chancel with doing Youth Sunday. It's our promise to them that we will be there to guide them and protect them as they grow. Years later, when that baby's a teen, they'll go through the coming of age program. They will spend their year in RE with a mentor, learning about religion and faith and trying to figure out what they believe. They'll give us a statement of their faith. After this, they're given another rose, but this rose still has its thorns. These thorns symbolize their growth and independence. It's a recognition of the fact that they don't need our protection anymore. We are still there to guide and care for them, but we aren't removing the obstacles in their way. They're learning to guide themselves. Some of you may have been to Flower Communion, a Sunday once a year when everyone brings flowers from their gardens and we put them together to make a big, beautiful bouquet of community. This is just another example of how the analogy of flowers and thorns is so important to our congregation. We use it to symbolize the growth of our youth and our community. And every Sunday in senior high, we use it to check in with each other. We like to start our meetings with what Rosanna has lovingly nicknamed RBT, Rose, Bud, and Thorn. We use this time to share a rose, something that has brought us joy, a bud, something that we're excited for, and a thorn, something that's been bothering us. This helps us recognize how we're feeling and how each other are feeling, and it helps us to connect. With the analogy of flowers, it helps us grow our roots together and create a safe and welcoming community. We have grown up in this community together. Our roots have been entangled, and we have shared so many memories that are special and unique to a childhood at First Universalist. When I was a kid, I remember really clearly we would have sharing Sundays, where kids would come to the first part of service like they do every week now, and they would get to sit in. We only went every once in a while, so it felt really special. The minister would ask us to greet our neighbors, and I remember feeling so grown up when somebody would turn around and shake my hand that I didn't know. So I'd like to bring this back now. If you'd all please turn and greet your neighbors, and if you're feeling inspired by senior high, you can share your rose, bud, or thorn. Thank you for connecting with your neighbor. Now we'll do our centering breaths with Bobby.
Please join me in saying, oh, please join me in taking three meaningful deep breaths. Now, please join me in saying the words for lighting our chalice. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
We all have pain, we all have sorrow. I'm Max.
And I'm Bobby.
And today we're going to read a book called Henry at Home by Megan Maynor, the wonderful mom of one of our senior high attendees. We invite all children, youth, and youth-minded to come join us for the reading of this story.
Oh yeah.
Alrighty. As long as there had been Henry and Liza, they were together. Henry and Liza, Liza and Henry.
Henry, come see this.
Liza, look what I found.
They got haircuts at the same time, winter boots on the same day.
And flu shots together.
Liza never rescued animals without Henry. Henry, a cheetah needs our help.
Henry never destroyed asteroids without Liza. Liza, shields up, blasters on. And their best place, the twisty tree, was only for Liza and Henry, Henry and Liza.
One day, Liza got a backpack. "Where's mine?" asked Henry. "This is for school," said Liza. "I want to go to school too," said Henry. "You're not old enough yet," said Liza.
Liza also got a whole box of pencils, fresh crayons, and her own scissors. "But I can write my name," said Henry, "and draw really good birds. And I can use scissors with no help." "You'll go to school next year," said Liza.
"Next year?" yelled Henry. "Liza, you are so mean. Henry, it's the rules."
Henry stomped on the crayons. "Henry!"
On the first day of school, Liza and her backpack climbed the big steps without Henry.
The bus roared away. And Henry roared too, "Rah!"
Henry stormed through the house. He grabbed all the blankets and all the pillows.
He built the biggest fort ever. "No kindergartners allowed," he said.
Henry burst out the fort and announced, "I can rescue animals without Liza." He rescued so many animals he needed a drink of water. "And I can blast asteroids without Liza. Pew, pew, pew."
Henry circled the twisty tree, but without Liza, it seemed like a regular place. So he zoomed on to the swings. It was tricky to get going without a starter push from Liza, but he did it. Henry swung back and forth and back and forth. He swung so high, he touched a leaf with his foot.
He swung so long, he invented three new tricks. The twister, the tall guy,
and the most daring of them all, the falcon.
The bus roared by again. "Henry, guess what? I was the line leader, and I have a new friend, and we have a class cheer. Oh yeah? Well, I rescued animals, and I blasted asteroids, and I invented three new swing tricks."
Henry swooshed toward the ground, arms spread wide. "Ah!" Liza covered her eyes. Henry laughed. "That's called the falcon." Liza dropped her backpack. "Can I try?" "I guess I could teach you," said Henry. "How's your class cheer go?" "I guess I could teach you," said Liza.
"Hey, hey, what do you say? We are ready for the day."
"Hey, hey, what do you know? We are here to learn and grow." Liza and Henry swung and cheered.
After that, Liza and Henry were not always together. Sometimes Henry was sad to see Liza go. Sometimes he was happy for her to leave.
They met new people and went to different parties. But the twisty tree remained their best place, always and forever, only for Liza and Henry, Henry and Liza. Thank you.
In a moment, the ushers will come forward and collect the offering for today. We collect the offering to support the program for youth and families here at First Universalist. As a young person, I'm not always able to give the church money. I know that my parents can, but I don't always have that option. So instead, my contribution, along with many of my other senior high friends, we do childcare. I also have helped raise money for the OWL program, and I try to involve myself as much as I can with church. The church is always looking for a helping hand. We all want to keep growing this community and making it more open to as many people as we can. We want to continue being able to have an amazing RE program to help communicate and teach with all people from any ages of life. We as a congregation acknowledge that everyone is at their own place in life. If you need support, please reach out to one of the ministers and they will start that conversation with you. We give so that we can continue to grow this congregation. We give so that we can keep coming back and becoming more knowledgeable and more empowered to speak up and to feel more welcome and to know that there's a space where everyone is welcome with open hands and open hearts. And now, Reverend Jen will talk about our stewardship campaign.
Thanks, Isla. So good to be here with everybody this morning and grateful for the leadership of our youth. And it's true, I have an update on our stewardship campaign. And for those, you know, stewardship is a fancy word for how are we funding ourselves and how do we invest together in the life of our congregation financially. So I want to start off by saying you all are absolutely amazing, which I hope you know and I hope that you feel in yourself and collectively. Over the last 6 weeks, you all have raised over $200,000 to close our financial gap for this current fiscal year. That's amazing. It's really amazing. Together, you have also committed almost $1 million for next year's budget. This is so, so important. The last time that we were able to leverage our resources in this way as a congregation, our financial resources, was when we were kicking off the capital campaign, when we were renovating the space and ourselves to build an inclusive future, not just for ourselves alone. We are doing it again. I hope you are feeling that sense of renewed energy and purpose and mission here in the church. I am feeling it, and I'm so grateful to be in this with you. Now, I just want to point out a couple of ways I am seeing and experiencing that sense of renewed energy and purpose. I was at a training yesterday with almost a dozen of you, lay leaders, staff, and folks who are just wanting to be present and helpful for a training on how to prevent teen suicide. Saturday, all day long, folks showing up to be there. These last couple of months, pretty much every weekend, there's an overnight happening here at church where our youth are getting together, spending the night, building community, and growing deeper in their connection with First Universalist. We've got a group that is gathering right now to help impact the upcoming election. This group is gathering quickly, the energy is brewing, so that we can, through voter engagement, put our values into action in the world and into the challenge that is retaining democracy right now. Right? Very important work that we're up to. I've been seeing our memorial service teams show up again and again to help hold space for deep grief here together. I've seen our renewed Habitat for Humanity team plan for work days in May and June and July, and I am excited to see what else is coming for us now. I imagine that you also are sensing that renewed energy and purpose and mission. It's been palpable. Now, later this week, I will be working with the board to prepare a draft budget for the upcoming fiscal year that starts July 1st. I'm working with the Finance Committee and the Board of Trustees to create a realistic and balanced and mission-driven budget that we will bring to you, the congregation, at our congregational budget meeting next Sunday, the 21st, at 1 o'clock. Now, if I were presenting that budget today, based on the amount of money we have raised so far, I am sorry to say that we would need to reduce our staffing by at least 2 full-time positions next year. And as I've been saying over this stewardship season, those layoffs of whole positions will come from the leadership of the staff, meaning from our associate and assistant ministers, that means Reverend Ashley and Reverend Arif, from Director of Worship Arts, Dr. Glenn Thomas, and from our Interim Director of Children, Youth, and Family Ministries, which is Allison. I can almost not breathe as I say that to you, because it's hard to imagine this place without those people and without their skilled leadership in these roles. I love working with each and every one of these people, and together they are part of facilitating the power and purpose and energy that is reawakening in our congregation. Now, we know that we may need to have a gradual restructuring of staff over the next several years. That's happening in congregations across the country. The board and I have already started those conversations. But if we have to do that, let's do it gradually and planfully and in a way that allows our shared leadership to develop in the congregation so that we can sustain our ministry and mission and keep the sense of power and purpose and belonging and connection that is growing here at church. So this is not a done deal at this point, but in order to avoid making these reductions and cuts in staffing, we need our collective power to manifest itself again through our gifts to the church. For some of you, that means adding significantly to the pledge that you've already made for next year. If you're someone who gives automatically, thank you, please consider an increase. If you haven't made your pledge or your annual gift for our upcoming fiscal year, now is a really good time to do it before we're making decisions about what happens next year. My wife and I both work in the helping, caring professions. We've got two teenagers at home, one who is heading toward college in the next 18 months probably. And we have increased our pledge this year to $5,000 for the next fiscal year. We made this decision because church is a place that matters to us in our own personal lives, for our kids, and also for the larger community. This is a place where I feel inspired and connected and realigned with what matters most to me, and where I feel like I can make an impact in the greater world. My guess is some of that is probably true for you too, so I invite you to join us in whatever way you can to help make our dreams a reality here at church. Now, I have a colleague who used to say to me regularly, looking at our congregation, "What impossible thing will you do next?" I love that question. Meeting our giving goals for the upcoming fiscal year is not impossible, but it's going to take every one of us. I know we can do this. I've seen this congregation do absolutely amazing things before. I know we are people that put our time and energy and resources and financial gifts to work and into action. So let's invest together, knowing we are in this constant cycle of giving and receiving and growing that our faith calls us into. We can do and be so much more together than we ever can alone. Our offering for this morning will now be received.
Thank you for your offering. I want to tell you about another way you can give back to the church. We are always looking for new volunteers for the RE program. We need more adults to help facilitate our classes, help support our youth, teachers, and to become more connected with our young people. The more adults we have, the more opportunities we have to do fun things that help grow youth's minds and that make our community even more connected. If you are interested in helping RE program, please reach out to Allison. Let us gather our hearts and minds together, closing our eyes and taking a deep breath, feeling the support of the ground beneath us. Take a moment to feel the love surrounding you. Take a moment to feel the community that we have created, to feel all of the people who are here to help and hold every single one of us.
In community, we experience the turning of the cycle of life for each of us as individuals and in our gathered community as well. The cycle of life brings all kinds of experiences to us, worries and grief, celebrations and joy, new beginnings, losses, worries, all of it mixed together. As we gather in community, we make space to share what is in our heart and on our mind. And I invite us now to share, if you'd like, or to hold silently in your heart, those things you would like the community to hold with you. For your friend who had emergency surgery, let us say together, you are not alone. We are holding it together. For those needing support who are afraid to ask for help, you are not alone. We are holding it together. For those who have suffered from war and are still suffering through it, you are not alone. We are holding it together. Joy for Caitlin's birthday. You are not alone. We are holding it together. Joy for the rebirth of the choir. You are not alone. We are holding it together. For those locked in the devastating impact of violence, you are not alone. We are holding it together. For those who are told and treated as though their bodies are not their own wellsprings of wisdom, you are not alone. We are holding it together. For those who are struggling with addiction or heartbreak, exhaustion or illness, with pain or the long wait of uncertainty, you are not alone. We are holding it together. For the new beginnings and the returning breath, for the warmth of connection and the sharing of compassion and care, for beauty and inspiration and joy, you are not alone. We are holding it together. Together, may we hold all that is. May we hold it together. Amen.
I invite you to hear a poem by Reverend M. Jade Kaiser. We have been working with this poem as a senior high group for many weeks now, and in the planning of this worship service, it was clear that it needed to be included. This poem explores the deep connections we form through the simple act of holding hands, reminding us how every touch can hold sacred meaning, whether in moments of love, challenge, or solidarity. As we listen, consider the many ways we reach out to support and affirm one another in our shared journey. This poem is called We Need Each Other. Each time we grasp the hand of another, the holy is there, in the flesh, entangled. Queer lovers stroll, one hand squeezes the other. We got each other, as passing eyebrows furrow. At the hospital, one hand, soft with skin that is loose and free, rests gently in the firm, calloused hand of a son. I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you. In his palm, a whole life is held. When it's little, itty-bitty fingers that can only almost wrap around an adult pinky finger, that counts too. The most gentle squeeze that knows not its own power, melting hearts with such an effortless reaching out, like that's an easy thing to do. A long string of people with hands clenched tightly, screaming with the most courageous kind of fear. Traffic is shut down. Cries for justice just loud enough to mostly drown out those screaming from their cars. The police will be here soon. Heart rates pulse. Can't tell if it's yours or mine or ours. Hands holding hands, a prayer too rare, a sight of the holy. Where the reaching out and the receiving, the grasping and being grasped, the need to be held and the needing to hold to get all perfectly mixed up. A returning to that which is always true, but so rarely spoken to in the language of flesh. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. Here at First Universalist, we have a habit of warming up our hands before we bless one another. We warm up our hands to physically remind ourselves of the love that we hold within our bodies. Let us now look at our hands. Notice them. Draw attention to the way your fingertips feel. Become aware of them in a way that you are not usually aware of your body. Notice them. Are they cold, sweaty, dry? Notice the lines in your palms and the wrinkles on the backs of your hands. What stories have sunk into your skin from the moments they've touched? With their poem, Reverend Kaiser invites us to consider the stories told by our hands, narratives woven from love. This poem accentuates the fact that our hands tell stories, stories of love. Today, we will begin another story with our hands. In a moment, we will warm up our hands and create a blessing together. We will craft a communal blessing for how we want to move through change. I invite you now. Let's warm up our blessing hands and open ourselves up to the blessings we are about to create. What do you hope to embody in times of change? What lessons have you learned from the experience of change? How do you wish for us to move through change as a community? What would you pray for each of us to receive while experiencing the gift and challenge of change? Feel free to shout it out. Patience, forgiveness, compassion, grace, curiosity, patience, tenderness, solidarity, generosity, understanding, joy. Celebration for achievements. Congratulations. love, respect, courage, wisdom. Let this blessing that we have just created sink into your skin. So we've been running with this plant metaphor all service, and now it's time to explain what quite large plant on the table is for. As Willa said, when dedicated as babies, we receive roses without thorns, symbolizing the beginning of our journey. As we complete coming of age, we receive roses with thorns to acknowledge the complexities we face as we grow. Now, as adults, or as those approaching adulthood, we are given this plant. This plant, it represents our roots, our core values. And its leaves symbolize our ever-growing, ever-flourishing selves. So, we're gonna plot a plant together. I encourage you to get your hands a little dirty. Before you pick up a handful, or maybe like a pinch, of dirt to place in the pot, you might want to warm up your hands. Push a prayer into the dirt, a prayer for a blessing to embody in times of change. Run the dirt through your fingers. Get the earth under your fingernails. Any leftover dirt under your nails is just a happy little reminder of us later in the day. Yeah. Really feel the dirt, then put it in the pot. Let's do this together now. But the way that we're gonna do this together now is by following a really exciting traffic plan. So the way that we're gonna do it is we're gonna have people come up towards the chancel using the outer aisles and return to their pews using the inner aisles. So what this will mean is if you are sitting in the middle section, you will have to exit your pew, walk towards the back of the chancel, peel out, and get in line in the outer aisles. Yeah? Cool. Let's do it. This is the church of the open mind. This is the church of the loving heart. And this is the church of the helping hands. These are the words we started Children's Chapel with when I was younger. Although the words have changed, the sentiments have not. My whole life, it has been built into me that love is not something that is buried deep within my chest, but something that flows through my fingertips, through my actions. As we continue to grow and change, let us never forget what grounds us. As we prepare to transform again and again, may the roots of our values hold us close and their wings set us free. May each of us be tended to in light, watered and well nourished, grown and guided in love.
Join us and sing Blue Boat Home.
Worship together is ending, but the stories that we have shared here are not. How do you want to embody change? How do you strive to move through the world in times of change? Remember that our hands show love. Remember to reach out and hang on tight. Remember that the world is ever changing and that you have the power to move through the hard things. Know that you are enough and are never alone. Know that each one of us is whole and capable. Know that together we have the knowledge to move through the world interdependently. Love is seated deep within each and every one of us. We hold it in our bodies. We hold it in our hands. Go forth to be a blessing and to be blessed. Go forth to live fully. Embrace change in your most grounded and plant-like way. May it be so, and amen.
Thanks for listening. If you've been comforted or inspired by this podcast, please consider supporting our ministry. Podcasts are free to download, but they cost money to make. Visit firstuniversalistchurch.org/donate to make your gift. We'd love for you to join us in person or online on Sunday mornings. To learn more, visit us online at firstuniversalistchurch.org.